Good afternoon. We're looking at March 30th, 2022. I think I may be down to making one podcast a year. I'm on my way, and I'm headed for about an hour's drive, so I thought I would share something that I'm talking with the Lord about right now. I'm talking about if I speak authentically. I'm an authentic person, and if I speak authentically and everything comes out of my heart, I want my heart to be pure so that if I am naturally speaking, that I say things that doesn't, that, okay, you know how we have anything can be used against you in a court of law, that saying, well, that same saying goes against me as a Christian. We know that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's waiting. He's there at every angle. He has sent one of his little angels to come and find the door, the entry to get me. He wants to take down the Christian people. Oh, that seems like, oh, the world says, yeah, come on, as if he would waste his time. All he has is time. And all he has is the pleasure he gets from harming God's people. He cannot take down God, but he knows that because we're in this world, he has access to God's people. What an opportunity, right? I find it offensive, honestly. I don't think that God's people should have to be in this world. I don't think we should have to deal with Satan and his people and the ones he's able to use, people he's able to use, right? Their agendas. But here we are. There's beauty in the world. You know, God has given us great things. We have the awesome feeling of family for the most part. And if we don't have a good family, we have church family that we can build relationships with. And we have the relationship we can build with God that keeps our spirit up and keeps us hopeful, right? But everything we say can be used against us. I like that. That makes so much sense to me when you hear that. Out of the mouth, the heart speaketh, right? So when you're real honest, you sometimes don't know how to filter things to protect yourself from the mindset of unsaved people. Okay, we have been spending our Christian walk transforming. Just because we're spending our time transforming doesn't mean the people that we work with and people that we deal with are spending their time transforming. So they're staying the same worldly, carnally thinking. And then here we are on the other side, we're changing. We're becoming more Christ-like, hopefully. And we're seeking God's ways, not our ways. We're seeking God's thoughts, not our thoughts. Well, when we begin to understand things in the way of God, we quickly understand that it doesn't line up to the joys of the world. It does not line up to the pleasures of man. So we can be targets. If we are so sincere and so real and authentic, and you're a speaker like me, and a talker like me, then you find yourself, you know, freely speaking in a room of judgmental people and you not even understanding that you're in a room of judgmental people, which are, you know, they're picking your words apart. And of course they don't understand your intentions because their intentions, if they were to say those words, would be, you know, it would be like, you know, jealousy and covet spirit. You know, that if they were to say something like I would say, it would be coming from a heart of competition, a heart of envy, strife. I can say it, and there is no envy and strife in the statement at all. It literally is just, and I can't have an example right now. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will show you what I mean. But when I say it, I think about it later once I'm away from the people and then I'm starting to analyze the conversation and then really seeing that, you know, the dynamics of the time that was spent together in that meeting and in that, you know, banquet or whatever with the coworkers. Then I'm able to stop and step back and be like, oh, okay, that comment, I know I meant it this way, but I'm looking now from the perspective of that person and how I know them and just unsaved people and carnal thinking. And I realize, oh, okay, so that could be taken a certain way. And that kind of hurts me, you know? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to change for them. They wouldn't change for me, so I'm not changing for them. I'm very strict on that. I don't expect them to change for me. I don't, when they behave any way that they behave, I don't correct them and tell them this is the way you should behave. I let them be themselves. So I expect that kind of same thing. I'm going to be myself, not changing, but I hope you'll accept me. And if you don't, that's okay. I'm doing Christ. So with what Christ has given me, I walk in freedom. When I walk in the room of that meeting, I bring in freedom. I bring in an authentic, God-given freedom that the world can't take from me. So when I walk in, I don't lay my freedom down at the door, walk in and start conforming to the way they behave and start, you know, just being a people pleaser. I walk in being myself, trusting in the Lord. But I also don't know the guards and the boundaries sometimes. Sometimes I can get caught up in being myself and not have the wisdom I need to use to just either refrain it from saying it or maybe even, you know, rephrase it. So I pray, God, clean my heart out so good that all my behaviors line up to what Jesus would do. All of my perspectives line up to what Jesus would do and be. I don't want to say, oh, I came from this group of people, so I behave a certain way. I don't want the way I grew up to dictate how I am today because I'm a Christian now. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are passed away. I'm new. I'm being transformed and being renewed. Therefore, I shouldn't hold on to the old mindsets, the old ways of saying things, the old mannerisms even. But I can have fun. I can be, you know, I'm free. I'm totally free. But what I'm saying is, in my freedom, teach me, Lord, how to be Christ-like, you know, my personality, my perspectives, my mannerisms, my conversations, you know, let everything that I do, let it all be cleansed, that I don't give any ways for the enemy to come at me. Jesus gave the enemy no opportunity. When they were talking to him and trying to get him to you know, even defend himself, he wouldn't speak in a lot of cases. He knew their heart. He knew this was meant to be, it was going to be, and he just let it be. But Jesus knew when to speak and when not to speak. And he knew that, and he knew how to phrase things. I love that wisdom. So I say, Lord, cleanse my heart, make my intentions pure. Help me not to say things with ulterior motives. Oh, oh, oh gosh, that's a big one. I hear that so much. I hear that happen so much. A clean, pure heart says what they mean and means what they say. And hopefully what they're saying is good things, nice things, you know, hopeful things and encouraging things, right? And truthful things. I mean, there's times you got to address truth the same way. It's just as important, right? Sometimes you got to address hard things, real things. It's not like, you know, our life is hunky-dory. We are in this world of sin, destruction, and it has, it's been corrupted. So everything that we touch and do, you know, has been corrupted. But there's a way to behave. There's a way to see things through the mind of Christ. And I'm telling you, there's so much wisdom on how to phrase things. So I just was thinking today about how what you say will be held against you in the court of law. And of course, you know, the Bible says that every idle word would be, I can't remember the exact scripture right now, but it's about, we'll be held accountable to every idle word. Wow. So definitely we start to think, okay, yes, we need to be careful what we say. And it says, out of the mouth, the heart speaketh. Do you ever hear people say things that they say, they're just joking. Oh, you know, it's so funny what they're saying. It's just, I'm just joking. Oh, I don't really mean that. You know, I'm just joking with you. You ever hear that? Well, really, they do mean it. I hate to say it. And even in their conscious mind, they would fight against it because they know that's not right. You know, so their conscience is like, no, of course I don't mean that. That would be wrong to mean that. But in their heart, they meant it. And it just shows that their heart is still not, it's still got some areas. There's an old song that says, there's a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there. That I can't remember. I had some things hidden there. And there's a door to that room that I just would not go to. And that there's areas in people's lives, unless they search their own hearts. Did you imagine that people don't analyze themselves? Can you imagine people that don't question their behaviors? Don't question why they said something? Well, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Some people are prideful, and the thought of questioning themselves, they just wouldn't. I've spent my whole life questioning myself, so I can't relate to them. I've spent my whole life wanting to be better. I wanted to not be like the people I grew up around. I learned how to do things, seeing it done the wrong way. So I learned an opposite, you know. I've always analyzed myself. I've taught my kids to analyze themselves. I'm a little hard on myself, of course, but it's not necessary, a thing that I have to do, but I'm just kind of desperate to be like Christ. You know, to share a little story, we've kind of gotten frustrated a little bit with the Christian people we've been surrounded by. It's not that we're judgmental, but I think we hold expectations for Christians. And recently there was a man on the pulpit that was sharing about his missionary work, which was amazing. He had wonderful, wonderful things he's doing in the mission field, actually in Arizona. He's not even out of the country, but he's in a reservation for Indians. And the stuff he's doing is amazing. But on the pulpit, he was so amazing. You know, he cared, he cried, he was authentic. He even gave me eye contact at times when he spoke. So it was beautiful. So afterwards, I wanted to give money to the work that he's doing. So a seed into his ministry. And when I went to approach him, and before I approached him, he was not the same person that we saw on the pulpit. I would assume he has anxiety talking to people. I don't know. But the kind of work he did and being a pastor where he was at, I don't see how he has a hard time talking to people. Because, you know, it would become natural at this point. And I don't think he would have a lot of people if he would treat them the way that I felt he treated me that day. He didn't even give me eye contact. He kind of immediately took my check, looked at the amount, folded up, put it down, and didn't even talk to me. And I was like, oh, okay. And granted, I gave the seed because of God. It was, and what he does, it still doesn't take away from what I was doing. But yeah, that's how he treated me. And then also, he went a step, I watched him talk to other people. They tried to talk to him, and he just looked at him and never interacted with them in a way that was like receiving them. He just, And he had a look about him, and he almost felt like he just wanted to go to the next person. Very, very questionable. that whole situation, it hurt me and it saddened me because I want us to be approachable. I want God's people to be the same kind of person they are on the pulpit. Same kind of person they are when we're worshiping together. That same day, I was hurt by another guy. He walks up, well, he's talking to me about something, and he says, "I feel sorry for your kind." And I smiled. I was like, okay, because I'm thinking, what's my kind, right? So I asked him, I said, okay, what's my kind? He said, single. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I didn't know at the very beginning what he was going into, but I was like, I just assumed, you know, my ideas of it. So I said, yeah, single. I said, it's hard in the church like that. I said, you know, it's pretty much ignored. And it is. I mean, the churches I go to, we don't talk about the single. We don't do that. I guess it's touchy for people, but we do talk about the families. We do Mother's Day, Father's Day, and we really honor families, which is, oh my gosh, I agree with. I love families and I honor them and I want them to be encouraged and I want them to work together on their family and never give up the fight to keep your family together, okay? But yeah, he felt sorry for the singles. And I, you know, I can understand that. I feel sorry for singles a little bit, you know. But what I thought and what I believe it's hard, we as women don't have help on things that happen. The maintenance on our homes, when things break, when things, you know, fall apart, we're stuck by ourselves trying to figure this out. And in most cases, these are things that men do. So now the woman is trying to figure it out. And oftentimes our hands are not as strong. And I get, you know, I do a lot of the things on myself. I've been 13 years in this. So I have learned to do a lot of things. And I have hurt my hands many times. I've had a lot of hurts in my hands. I have had a lot of sores and pains and aches in my body doing things that men are built to do. I've learned that men are physically built to do these things. Okay, thank you, Lord, for that. However, being single, the church has never cared. They're worried about going to missions and going over to these other countries to help these people, but they don't look at the... And maybe they do care about some of the elderly, you know, but they don't think about the single moms, you know, especially the moms who are working. Some work two jobs, but I work one job, but just a lot of that job. Okay. If it was up to my job, I'd be 60 hours a week, but I try to limit, but, you know, we're working constantly. Things break. It stresses us out. It brings us to tears. We're not sure what to do. You call people to come in. The men treat you bad. They talk down to you. They have a... Don't even get me started on that. Sorry. Whew. Sorry, that got me choked up a little. So, oh God. So we go through those things. So to me... If the church wants to help the single people, can we get a committee of men together that go out and help people with repairing a door that's fallen off the hinges and they got to keep a front door onto their house and the woman's trying to figure out how to finagle this door to stay there so that somebody doesn't come in and break in on them? Let's help the woman with a water tank that's just gone out. These are the things that single moms need help with. But you know what this guy thought single moms needed help with? This is a Christian man, been in the church for I don't know how many years. He thought that they need someone to talk to. He thinks that all they need and all they want and desire is someone to listen to them. Do you hear this? A married man walking up to a single woman, letting that woman know he'll talk with them. That is not what
a single woman needs. First of all, this single woman has a strong relationship with God. So she talks to God about all of her problems, not man. This single woman is strong, and she's a go-getter, and she's a fighter. She is not weak. This man would have need me to be weak and needy to accommodate what he was trying to say at the moment. So I listened to him, and he talked about another woman that he talks with, and she just needs someone to listen. And he goes on about, and this is so funny, because he goes on about all they need is someone to listen. And there are times where, you know, most of the time, you just don't even say anything. You just listen. Well, every time I ever talk to this man, he never just listens. He does most of the talking. And when I do try to talk, he interrupts me. So somehow he's got the ability to turn all that off and go right back to being a great listener. No. So that situation really hurt me because, first of all, I think, you know, his intentions, he likes to be puffed up a lot. So he likes the fact that I need him to fix a door, or I need him to fix plumbing in my house. So he likes to really puff himself up and talk about himself. And he likes for me to, you know, thank him and appreciate him for what he's doing and listen to what he did and really, you know, be learning from what he's doing. So he gets a lot of that ego stuff going. And that is not my intention whatsoever. And I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be part of a married man who wants to come and, you know, talk with me and be there for me. And so that really hurt me. And that day when we left from church, I was talking to my oldest daughter. She's 23. And I, by the way, I let him know. My daughters that walked up beside me, I said, these are the people I talk to. I said, she's my greatest friend right here. And she's the person that I talk to and really encourages me. But when we left that day, I shared with her what was said. And then how also the guy that I gave the check to acted. And we find a lot of that stuff going on. You know, we find a lot of two people. And we don't know how to evenly divide this. I've always taught my children that their most important job as a Christian is how they treat and act outside of the church. That's going to really tell the world if you're saved or not. That's really going to be the life changer in people's lives. But we see so much, and I don't know how to get away from it because I've been to many churches. I see it all the time. I have yet to find a church that doesn't do this. I thought the church we went to did it, but the closer I've allowed myself to get to these people, the less we're seeing it. And this is one of the reasons why we didn't want to get close to people. We didn't want to see their real self. We wanted to see that person at church that we saw, because that's where it was at for us. But so we were discouraged. My daughter, she's like, I you ever feel like you just need time away from Christians? You know, and I'm like, oh, that's so hard, you know. I don't want her to feel that way. And I let her know. I said, look, a part of our growth and a part of what will please God is us loving these people in spite of who they are. That's where we will shine to God, is no matter what we face with these quote unquote Christians, that we still love them and understand that we've got faults and that we've got the big 2x4 in our eyes and they've got the splinter in their eyes. No, we don't want to pick people apart. And even on, you know, we don't pick them apart so much. It's mostly what you hear. You know, we hear things about the worship leader and up there. It breaks your heart because you want the authentic stuff. You want the stuff to where people are different than the world. You want the stuff where what you're acting like in church is who you are outside the church. And I always felt like God was so hard on me, but I know it was me being hard on myself. But I always felt like, you know, there was such an expectation. And then when you see them outside of the church, or you know things about them, or they do things on Facebook, or you, whatever, you're like, oh my God, would I get away with that? No. And I wouldn't want to get away with that. But then you say, the same God that I'm serving and the same God that wants holiness and righteousness out of me wants it out of that person. Do they have a conscience toward it? And you can't judge the walk with other people, I know. But this is the part of the problem that, you know, we are slowly trying to come up out of, is dealing with what we feel is high expectations, and that we feel is our goal, that when we see a fault or see something that does not line up with the Word of God, that we immediately begin to pray, seek God, and fast in order for us to come up out of that and become more like Christ. We're not seeing that by when we get close to some of the, you know, a lot of the Christians. So, and I wouldn't say a lot, because we don't allow ourselves to get close, but as we are, you know, and we've really been called to get close. We've been called, God is calling me and my children, especially my oldest daughter, to allow ourselves to get close to Him and to allow growth in our life, because the Lord loves family. He loves His family. And He wants His family to come together. And I don't believe anything will bless Him more than on a Sunday morning, we're all worshiping together. And then after church, we're all fellowshipping together. He gets glory from that. That is His glory shining out of us. So, you know, what do we do? God is, and this is where we've got to pray for wisdom. We've got to pray for knowledge. How is it that we can see the good in them? Don't get distracted by that bad thing. Don't get distracted by that stumbling block. But we got to love them in spite of that stumbling block. We've got to look for the right things they do. We got to keep our eyes on the fact they are our brothers in the Lord regardless. No matter what we do in this life, we can never stop saying that your brother that was by your mother is your brother. That is going to be your whole life story. I don't care where. You can go to California. He can go to Maine. It won't matter. He will be your brother. That's how God's people are. If He's born again and I'm born again, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that ain't going to change. It's my job to try to get along with them. It is my job to love them in spite of their failures. It is not my job to call out their failures. You don't want to cause someone to lose hope or get discouraged in God, or, you know, to lose their joy or whatever, you know. You want to, so it takes the Holy Spirit though. Me within myself cannot sit there and get my eyes off of the fact that this man is pretty much soliciting me for a relationship. Now, will I distance myself from this person? Absolutely. He is his business is basically repairs, all that. He does electric, he hangs doors, whatever you need him to do, this man is capable of doing, and his son. But I can't have him do anything for me now, unless I'm in, you know, straits, but I don't want him to do anything at my house. I pay him, first of all. I don't want to make it sound like he's doing free work. He's never done free work for me. And the only thing he's done, his son actually came and did my, fixed the plumbing problem I was having after I had spent about 5 days trying to fix it myself. Learned a lot, did get halfway there except for an obstacle that hit, and there was nothing any of us can do. There was an item that needed to be dealt with. But anyways, the point is that, you know, I have to distance myself from him. He's basically solicited me, I feel like. Does he really just want to have someone that he talks to? And he says he deals with a lot of my kind. He likes to help my kind. So, no. The answer is no. No. That is not happening on my terms. Absolutely. It's just, no. So, I mean, if it happened on my terms, yes, he could help fix, you know, I got a door that needs repaired, this and that.
but I'm not going to have this person think he's going to be there for me emotionally. And often, and really honestly, he likes so much attention that this is the reason he's even wanting to be there for me with quote unquote conversations. So, yeah, it's been on my heart ever since that happened on Sunday. I've had no one to share that with. And I just want to explode. I want to explode, you know, with this man having the, on the worship team too, by the way, let's not forget that. And then, you know, that's, oh, I can't, how do you deal with that? You know, it's like, why on our pulpit? I like to keep it sacred. I don't want, you know, if I am a worship leader and I am going through a time of my life of going through a divorce, a lot of stress, this and that. Now, I didn't do this back in the day. I'll be honest with you. I'm about to say something that contradicts something I did. But I'm wiser now. I'm not the person I was 13 years ago. But if I'm going through something in my life, or if I'm going through sin in my life, okay, maybe I'm struggling with the sin and, you know, I'm still a Christian, but and I'm still going to church, but at the same time, I've got a sin in my life. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not going to go up on the pulpit and I'm not going to start singing the worship songs for the people. I'm not doing it. Now, if God wants to lay that on my heart and there's a certain situation that there's a reason, that's fine. But in general situations, if you're going through sin in your life, you got to step down until you get this right. You get a year later, say, or months later, your life is back on track. You're back where you need to be with God. That sin's removed. Then by all means, go right back to your position. But you can't have all this going on in your life and then get up in the pulpit and minister to the people. And that's my opinion. Okay, now everybody can do what they want. My opinion is just for me. I can only share it. But it grieves me when I begin to know things and lifestyles of people that are singing on the pulpit. Or preaching on the pulpit, for that matter. It's okay to go through those things. We all go through them. But there's a time to say, okay, I just need to step away for a minute here on this position. And then when you get it back, go right back. Not a problem, right? Not a problem. And I don't look down. I respect you for that decision. But it's a very touchy situation with people. But then you've got this guy who's singing in worship, and then he comes to me talking this way. And then, not only that, I've not really appreciated a prior conversation where he talked so close to me. He was up in my face almost. I didn't appreciate that as well. So, I don't know. But where did I even start? Everywhere. Okay, I started going back. Okay, we're talking about trying to line up what we say and for God to purify my heart, that I would be careful what I say in front of people. Not be careful, because I want to walk in freedom. I want to be right in my heart that when I do speak, I don't have to filter everything I'm saying because I'm not walking in freedom or because I'm trying to conform to that room of people. I don't want, that's bondage for me. I want to walk completely in truth and in faith, but I want my heart right. I want to be able to trust that my heart is clean. And if I say something, even if they miss, if they interpret from their hearts, that's not my problem. But I don't want to say anything, but I want to be wise also, because I don't want to say anything that would be able to be used against me in a court of law, if you will, LOL. But I still want to walk in freedom regardless. I don't want to say, oh, these, you know, this is this, so I got to be real careful. But I, you know, I want to have that professionalism. And, you know, not the way the world sees it, but the way the Lord sees it. I think professionalism with the Lord is to be wise and watchful on things, consider your group of people, share what needs to be shared, and hold back what doesn't need to be shared. So there's a way of communicating with the Lord, through the Lord's wisdom, that would be really honorable for me, for God, and for the people in the room to see. You see how that works? So God is, you know, beautiful in all of his ways. And if I can transform to his ways, it's going to be a blessing to those in the room. Even the unsaved, it's a blessing. We are a blessing to them. The way we see and perceive things, it interests them because they hadn't thought about it that way.
And then if you have an evil heart in the room, that's the ones that take it from, you know, take a clean comment you made and turn it dirty, and then get to talking to everybody else about seeing it their way. And then suddenly that comment becomes a problem. And maybe you end up in a conference room talking to a manager about the comment. All because that evil one perceived it in a way that they wanted to, and they have bad intentions anyway, especially towards a woman of God. And not because of me, but the Bible says it's not you. They hate me is why they hate you. And because I'm in you, they hate you. That is all I really have to share today. I think it's a nice place to end it. It's a very long podcast. I don't know if I've had one this long, honestly. But I've needed to share some things. And I love the Lord. And I am determined to get it right as much as possible. I'm spending every day pursuing it. I know we're going to be okay when we get to heaven. I know some of us are in different stages of our walk with God. And when Jesus shows up, maybe we're at the stage where we still have sin in our life, but we haven't been, you know, when we stand before God, it's not like we're going to stand before God with our image. It'll be Jesus. He sees Jesus's righteousness. Thank God. Because what did he say? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We could never measure up. Okay. We're human. We are corrupted. We're doing our best to walk in the Spirit. He's called us to walk in the Spirit, and that's what we're doing. I appreciate you. Have a blessed day, and God bless.